Now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Testing, testing, check, check, check.
Hello there, this is funny lady Judith Lucy.
Hi, this is Joel Creasy.
Hey, this is Fiona O'Loughlin.
Hi guys, McLaughlin here, that would be of the Craig variety.
Hi, this is Shayna Blaze.
Hello, this is Tom Ballard.
Hi, this is Melissa Cap.
G'day, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison.
Hi, this is Reece Nicholson.
Hi, it's Gina Liano from The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Hi, this is Reece Mastin.
Hi, this is JC Fox.
This is Kathy Griffin.
Hey, this is Todd Collins.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic.
Hello everybody, it's Omar Rudberg and you're listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Troy Murphy laughing at me in the other studio. Oh, he's dancing to my radio vet. Hello, Troy.
The last couple of shows I've listened to The Troy Murphy Show, I've nearly had a couple of accidents because my eyes have been watering with laughter so much.
Is it me? Am I the problem? Surely I can't be the only one that thinks that the world is going bananas. With doctors last summer claiming the term morbidly obese to be ditched. Look, I understand morbidly obese is not a glamorous term, but unlike the morbidly obese lifestyle, one should not have to sugarcoat everything to explain that it's problematic.
He's ready for his close-up. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, welcome to the Troy Murphy Show. I am, of course, your host, Troy Murphy, and this, as the name suggests, is the Troy Murphy Show. Yes, that's right. It's that glorious time of the week again, Thursday nights from 7 p.m, where the Troy Murphy Show graces the turbos our bandwidth and airwaves for an exciting adventure of talk till 8 p.m, covering everything from the serious news to the weird, wacky, and wonderful news. It's where big-name celebrities stop by for a chat and people far smarter than I join us to talk topics that need expert opinions on, and we've got a great expert tonight. And of course, the Troy Murphy Show house band are in the studios for antics and songs all night long. Big thank you to BJ and Grossi, plus the one and only legendary Gossip Girl, who, let's be honest, she carries the show. And of course, I'd say that with bias, as I am Gossip Girl's number one fan indeed. Thank you, team, for kicking off Thursday Drive as we now enter into TSR at night. Oh, but firstly, before I get into what's coming up on the show tonight, apologies for last week and some apologies for this week. You see, last week I had to go to the dentist and I had some work done and I have stitches in my gum, which means I had trouble speaking last week and I'm still having a little bit of trouble speaking this week. So apologies in advance for mispronouncing and slurring through my words. I'm not drunk. I've just got stitches in my gums. On the show tonight, in our weird, wacky, wonderful news, silly stuff at the front, maths experts claim to have discovered the perfect swear word. What that swear word is, we will reveal it to you, but not right now, when we do the segment next. We'll also take a look at the social media giants who, along with law experts, have jointly come out in criticism of the Albanese Labor government's proposed legislation for the misinformation and disinformation laws it intends to pass. Laws that would see draconian censorship on what we can and cannot report on in the media, and what we can and cannot post online. We will deep dive into that because it's a pet project, a topic of concern, not only to me, but to most of media, and it should be of concern to every living person in this country. Stay tuned for that. And importantly, we have the expert opinions, people far smarter than I, coming into chat. Our resident psychologist, Carly Dober, she's coming in to, or she'll be on the phone to chat about the psychological effects of the voice to parliament and the psychological effects it can have on not only yes voters, but no voters too. And how it affects people and their partners and their families and their friends, especially if they are on opposite sides of the debate. All that and so much more. And with that, let's dive headfirst into this week's show without any safety gear on, of course, because that's how we do things here on the Troy Murphy Show, responsibly. Don't try this at home.
It seems today that all you hear is music on the radio and murder on podcasts. But where are those good old-fashioned talk shows on which we used to rely? Lucky there's a Troy Murphy Show. Lucky there's a man who positively can do all the things that make us tune in live.
In Australia, only 13% of people keep fish. 9% of households without a pet and 17% with a pet are interested in keeping fish. The three reasons they don't keep fish are that they think it is harder, more expensive, and more time-consuming than it is. All three reasons are a myth, depending on what setup you choose. A simple tropical setup is actually the easiest and cheapest pet you can get. Pop in and visit us at Majestic Aquariums Tarrant Point, or follow us on our social media and learn how far fish keeping has come in the last few years. Majestic Aquariums are proud sponsors of 2SSR.
2SSR can help you promote your business with an innovative and inexpensive marketing plan. Our in-house team will help you design a campaign, voice the audio, and give it the professional production values you need. To find out more, call us on 9545 1800 or email info@2SSR.com.au to organise a talk with our experienced marketing team.
Hi, it's Kale. Hope you can join me for Friday Night Live every Friday from 7 to 9pm for a mix of pop and indie music, interviews with interesting people, and all the music and entertainment news from the Shire, Sydney and beyond. Friday Night Live, 7pm on 2SSR 99.7 FM. I'll see you there.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7pm Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Troy Murphy Show. Now, in a groundbreaking study that surely had the world on the edge of their seats, math experts claim to have discovered the perfect swear word. And brace yourself. Are you ready for its grand reveal? A drum roll, please. Yes, it's community radio. We have no budget, so we can't afford a real drum, so we're just tapping the desk. The perfect swear word, according to science and math, is banger. Yep, you heard right. Apparently, according to Sophie McLean from the King College in London, this mild-mannered term takes the top spot in the profanity Olympics. Mild-mannered so much so that we don't have to beep it out on community radio. Because if it was a genuine swear word, we'd have to beep it out because we can't swear here on radio. Otherwise, ACMA will be down our backs. Now, forgive me for being just a mere mortal who doesn't possess the mathematical genius of this here Sophie, but I kind of have to disagree. If you think about it, banger sounds more like something you'd yell out when you accidentally set fire to your sausage on the barbecue rather than a hard cause soul-cleansing expletive. Bang is something you do on the weekend. But hey, don't worry, my fellow enthusiasts of colourful language. If you thought banger was a dubious choice, wait till you hear what the algorithm created by this Sophie McLean from the King College in London spat out on its own as other profanities that are the perfect swear word. And brace yourself, because according to the algorithm, their masterpiece is, wait for it, Ditwot. Yes. Ditwot. Spelt D-I-T-W-A-T. Now, if that doesn't leave you rolling on the floor with laughter and or confusion and laughter at the same time, I don't know what will. I mean, really, ditwot? It sounds like a word a toddler made up while learning their ABCs. Someone needs to have a serious chat with this algorithm thing and let it reconsider its choices. I know these algorithms. You go into your chat GTPs and they've got, you know, the rules, whatever they are. They can't be mean or swear and all that sort of stuff. So maybe that's where ditwot comes from. Now, in defense of Sophie's research, she stated that neither banger nor ditwot possess the same satisfaction as dropping the F-bomb when you've stubbed your toe or letting out a hearty... I can't even say that on radio. Starts with an S and so with a T. You roll it and glitter, it's still the same. When you've forgotten your parents' birthday, she even suggested that they could be quite good insults for people. Again, Sophie, I beg to differ. Insulting someone with banger or ditwot is about as intimidating as tickling them with a feather and likely to get you insulted back with much worse. Actually, you know, having worked on radio for a very, very long time, let's not even think about how many years I've been doing this thing. When we do radio, we are taught not to swear because we can't swear on radio. So what we tend to do when you're practicing your radio or you're doing radio for a long time, you change your swear words in real life, so away from the microphone, so you don't accidentally drop it into conversation when you are on the microphone. So one of my favorites of all time, and I've spoken about this for years, is fire truck. Fire truck is my favorite swear word. And also, you know, you've got Bluey, the kids' TV show, cheese and biscuits or cheese and crackers, whatever the dad says. He's got some seriously good swear words on the show, which are not swear words because it's a kid's show, but it's, you know, just... Anyway, let's be honest here. Let's be honest here. Back to this this story on how the amazingly wonderful intellectual scientific math experts at the King College London, good old Sophie McLean, in creating the perfect swear word. Let's be honest. Why fix something if it ain't broke? Swear words have been around for ages and they work just fine. We all know the true champions of profanity, even though, you know, I can't share them with you here due to the restrictions of what we can and can't say on radio. But trust me, I have a list here in front of me of the best swear words of all time, as curated by myself. And trust me, they are so good that they would make a sailor blush. And banger and ditwot, well, come on. Come on, they're not on the lists. And mathematicians, how about let's focus on solving real-world problems of the world and leave the art of swearing to experts, the ones of us who have perfected it over centuries. Centuries indeed. You know, I tried calling someone a banger and a ditwot earlier today on my way here to the radio station, and let's just say I was met with confused looks and a sudden urge to order some sausages. Math may be a universal language, but it seems like profanity still has some regional dialects and a language that math just doesn't understand. Oh no, the studio phone is ringing. There are only a few people who have this direct phone number, and that's station management and Aunt Ethel. I wonder who it could be. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Why, hello there, Troy. It's yours and your listener's Aunt Ethel here.
Oh, I should have known it was you. Management don't call me because, you know, I'm the golden boy here at the station.
That's not true, but Troy, I heard that you were doing a cute little segment on swear words, and the one you came up with is Poppycock. Poppycock indeed, Troy.
Well, Art Ethel, to my defence, I didn't come up with it. It was the people at King College in London.
Well, Troy, I have a few suggestions of my own, I do, Troy.
Well, you know, Art Ethel, we can't swear on radio.
Oh, Troy, you've got that button thing there on your desk. I know you do. I've heard that Kale Leishman from the Friday Night Live show use it on his program, Bigley Show. He does Bigley Show. You could take some pointers from him, Troy. He plays music, you know, and he does the big quiz too. Very entertaining, you know, unlike your show.
Yes, Aunt Ethel, and thank you for the advice, but I'm behind the microphone. You're a caller. There's a reason why. But yes, you did say that there is a button here on the table that beeps when people swears, but it's best that we don't have to resort to using it, Aunt Ethel. It's advised against swearing.
Well, Troy, I hope you can keep up, because otherwise you won't have a show next week. Here are my suggestions of great swear words.
Ethel, no! Ethel, please stop. Oh, I'm going to get early onset arthritis with all this button pushing, Aunt Ethel. For the love of... Ethel, stop! Oh, I should have done this earlier. Just hang up the phone instead of pushing the swear button. Ha, much easier. And I tell you what, you know, I still get to hear what she's saying. I don't just hear the beep like you do at home. I'm traumatized. Traumatized. Anyway, and apologies if I did miss any. I'm sorry. And if I did miss any, I'm sure the next call I'm going to get is from the station's management. Good grief. Good grief indeed.
Never miss a show. Listen on demand. Click the Troy Murphy Show on the 2SSR.com.au homepage program guide.
Stick around, because coming up next, we talk to the Troy Murphy Show's resident psychologist, Carly Doper, my good friend, about the psychological effects the Voice to Parliament referendum can have on not only yes voters, but no voters too, but also to people, their partners, their families and their friends, especially if they are on opposite sides of the debate. That's next. But first, a quick look at the news that broke across the Sutherland Shire this week. Speaking of the news, the Leader newspaper, the Sutherland Shire's local newspaper, their parent company, ACM, have surveyed more than 10,000 voters across metropolitan cities, regional centres and rural areas, asking them whether they will vote yes or no, or if they're undecided in the upcoming referendum. ACM own many mastheads across the country. The results show that only 38% of people they polled say will vote yes at the Voice referendum, which is expected to be held in October, while only 55% say they will vote no. In the regions, the survey shows the no vote has grown to 57%, while the yes vote shrinks to 35%. Of course, a voting selection of over 10,000 voters is far more significant than many of the other polls that we are seeing being published at the moment. And that's what's happening in Sutherland Shire local news.
The Troy Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
Joining us on the phone is our good friend and psychologist, Carly Doper, to talk one of the most talked about hot topics at the moment, and that is the Voice referendum. But we won't be talking about it about this contentious issue in the usual way here on the show tonight. No, not at all. We're going to talk to Carly about the effect the voice can have on people of both sides of the debate from a psychologist's point of view. Carly, my friend, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, Carly, how much of your daily life is consumed with the voice referendum?
Oh, maybe about 25% of my time right now, which is quite a lot when you're considering the working hours. But yeah, talking about it, reading about it, communicating about it and fielding questions about it and talking about in sessions. So quite a lot of time.
Now, I know you can't reveal what happens in your sessions because, you know, patient, doctor privilege and all that sort of stuff. But what's the general vibe that you're getting from people who you're talking to about the voice?
Oh, it's such a range of experiences. On the one hand, we've got, you know, some First Nations clients who are feeling a lot of the things that we saw in the same-sex marriage referendum from the queer community. So feeling paranoid, anxious, scared, nervous. And then we've got other people who have questions and really have no idea what this would look like in practice and are asking, you know, what's all the hoo-ha about? And then we've got people who are very much anti it, wanting it to all be over, getting a bit angry and a bit annoyed that they are seeing and hearing so much of it. So there's really a vast range of what is occurring in the community right now.
Yeah, because we're going to get you on again in a couple of weeks to talk about cost of living. Like, that's a huge issue, and when you compare it, I know it's not apples and apples. It's chalk and cheese, but the amount of attention that the media and the government seem to be focusing on the voice compared to cost of living, which only affects, and I say this very bluntly, but I mean it compassionately. Yeah, the voice, whilst it's very important and it will help change the lives of many, but it's still far and few in between of what the cost of living crisis is having effect on the entire country, including the Aboriginal community as well. Are you seeing people draw issue with that as well?
Actually, no. I think
that's just crazy people on the radio who live and breathe media every day.
Your words, not mine.
I've been called worse by listeners. Yeah.
What about your mental health? Oh my God, that's concerning.
Look, I'm sure if I was ever put onto a couch by a psychologist, Carly, you'd have a field day. It's a basket case up here. That's why I get paid the big bucks on community radio.
Love it.
But back to the series. We are talking about the voice, not my issues, of which there are plenty. Now, something that's going to happen, and we saw this in the same-sex marriage plebiscite, was when the date actually gets announced, the whole, like, if you think the debate now around the topic is bad, it's going to be on steroids from now until the end of the year, unless something drastic happens between now and then. But that's what we saw. We can only reference what we've seen before. And in our lifetimes, Carly, we've only really ever seen the plebiscite. I don't know how old you are, Carly, but I don't remember a referendum in my lifetime, especially not in my voting lifetime.
No, neither. Yeah, the intensity certainly does increase because there's a date, there's something to kind of move forward to and rally people up against with whatever side of the argument you might sit on or perspective you might have. And that can be very intense for a lot of people.
What about the population? What kind of effect could the whole voice debate on steroids have on the entire population as a whole, especially when we're sort of seeing We're not seeing quite a 50-50. It was more yes, but now it's more no at the moment when it comes to the opinion polls. How is this debate on steroids going to have effect on the entire population?
Oh, that's another range kind of answer where for those people who might be ambiguous and not really care either way, they might feel exhausted, annoyed, over it, just wanting it to be over. For those who might sit on or near the no camp, they might be very angry, they might be annoyed, agitated, resentful. And for those who might be firmly in the yes camp and adjacent to the yes camp, again, anxious, resentful, scared. And typically, and, you know, again, with the same-sex referendum, we do know that First Nations communities will be vulnerable to developing or exacerbating, you know, mental and physical health complications from I guess the intensity and some of the very negative and disparaging comments and sentiments from some members of the community.
How would you suggest people deal with that? Because it's not directed. So yeah. Let's talk about the Aboriginal community. They're going to have some negativity pointed towards them. And it's the same with the no voters as well. I want to touch on it again a little bit in a later question, but we've got, say, the Indigenous Australians Minister, Linda Burney, who has likened no voters to Trump supporters, which is a negative. And you've got activists online calling no voters racists online. And then, of course, you've got the Aboriginal community who are being told, no, we're not going to vote for you and the potential chance for a better life. How do people on both sides, whilst it's not being directed at them intentionally or directed at them for the person that they are or who they are, how do you deal with that broad stroke of negativity?
It's really difficult, and with such a historical referendum or moment in time as this is, I think keeping in mind that the intensity will increase, and if you know it is impacting you, firstly I would say limit your exposure to social media when and where you can if it is impacting you, especially around something like this where, you know, an argument will rarely be won or someone's mind will rarely be changed in the comment section. I would limit your exposure to social media around this topic when and where possible if you can, if you're being impacted. I'd also encourage people to remember that there is a person or people or communities on the other end of whoever they're talking about and to try to keep that in mind. They're a person with hopes and dreams and feelings because often when we're just shouting into the abyss, we do forget that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's a valid point. I really like that. I hadn't considered that. Well, And let's talk more closer to home for people. So the one-on-one conversations we would be having with our loved ones. Say if, you know, you're a couple, one half is yes, one half is no. What's the right way to have these conversations about voting with a loved one?
This is such a common thing that comes up in therapy, in, you know, all walks of life. Disagreements are a part of engaging with other people, and obviously when there's such a hot topic, it can be really hard to stay calm when you might disagree with someone about one of your core values or beliefs. Because when our values are challenged by someone, it's really common to feel anger, anxiety, you know, all that kind of stuff. And how you feel and respond can be influenced by things like your past experiences, your personality, how well you know the other person, where you are, and how much the topic actually means to you. I guess I'd firstly keep in mind it can be tempting to argue about who is right, but this often results in a lack of listening to each other and it may end in conflict and more frustration and a polarization of the person's beliefs. And I guess The core thing would be practicing curious listening, because that can help to remove judgment and allow room for genuine connection and understanding with the other person. And that doesn't mean that you need to agree with them or they need to agree with you. It just means listening. You know, we've got two ears and one mouth for a reason. So practice listening to the other person. You know, open that door for a respectful conversation, and maybe you can still find ways to either agree to disagree or to move forward together.
And if you don't, what sort of effects would this have on a relationship and the mental health of both people in a relationship?
It can be really challenging, and for some couples or for some friendships or whatever relationship configuration you might be in, it can cause a rift, because you might think that you fundamentally, you know, are the same as this person, get along so well, you have the same kind of views, and issues like this might make you think, oh my God, we're more different than I thought, or how can they think this way when, you know, I think this way. And some people might not be able to move past it. Or for some people, it might make them feel like they don't actually know that person at all, or they see no future with them, or they have nothing in common with them. And yeah, I think if you are experiencing that and you might be a couple, always explore, you know, talking to your friends and family first, getting some support, touching base with a respectful conversation a few times, but also exploring relationship counseling if you need. It might not be the nail in the coffin, but it might be, depending on what else is happening in your relationship.
Yeah, you've just brought up something there that I really like. It's a respectful conversation, and not just in relationships, but this goes with online. We know, and I don't know if this has been studied enough or if there's enough research on there, but it's something that always sits in the back of my mind, and that's the dopamine effect people get from being angry and getting involved, especially online or at a rally or in a debate or in a heated argument with either family or friends or at a barbecue. This is where I don't think critical thinking and respectful conversation has been taught or has been learnt by people who favour the dopamine effect of getting upset and angry, because it increases the heart rate and gets the blood flowing and it triggers things in the brain. It's like the getting likes on social media. How would you suggest people take a step back, identify that they're addicted to the dopamine effect of getting angry and involved, and learn to step away from it or reframe themselves to having respectful conversation, mostly to make society a better place, but also for their own better mental health?
I actually really like anger, and I think a lot of good can be good can come from anger. It can really spur us into moving towards what matters. But I think the thing is mindfulness. If you're finding yourself angry and you're just kind of engaging in an argument that's quite circular, not getting anywhere, not respectful, and you're being impacted, try to take a pause and take a step back and just have a bit of a break. You know, you might go for a walk, you might just chill out, you might go hang out with your pet, whatever. Have a bit of a break and allow your brain and body just to kind of cool down. You know, a conversation is a conversation. You can always pick it back up, you know, if it is something that's important to you. And you might come back and think, it's actually not worth me spending another 2 hours having an argument with this person online. I don't even know them.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to actually spend 2 hours on this when I could do so many other things with my time. But I think pausing is really important, and giving yourself that time just to kind of assess after a cool down period, what do I want to do from here? How much time am I willing to spend on this? Is that other person actually also engaging in good faith? Or is this just an argument that's really going to go nowhere just for the sake of?
Yeah. Now, as we know, the yes vote the yes vote is not polling strong at the moment. It was going well, and there are some polls having it very low at the moment. That's likely to change in the future. The yes vote have $8 in comparison to the no votes $1 when it comes to campaign funds. But from a person like yourself, who understands people and how the mind works, what would you suggest that the Yes Camp do to perhaps win the no vote over when it comes to the referendum? For instance, like I said earlier, we've seen the Indigenous Australians Minister Linda Burney liken no voters to Trump supporters, and which is said in a derogatory way, which is offensive to someone who votes no, who is in the no camp, and also activists call no voters racist online when, you know, the motive may not be racism but rather constitutional reform. How would you suggest Yes voters do better?
That's an interesting one, because I'm openly in the Yes camp, and I think, unfortunately,
maybe we should have this conversation. or classic example of yes and no voters having a respectful
dialogue.
I interrupted.
No. That's so fine. I think, I think helpful information and accurate information is key, because whether or not that changes people's minds is neither really here or there. But I think if people can understand the why in very simple terms, why this is being put forward, what this will change, you know, because often some people will be shocked when they hear that, oh, well, actually Australia is like developed nation that doesn't actually have Indigenous people in their constitution. Like, we're behind America and the UK, for example. And a lot of people are like, oh, because that puts it in a kind of global perspective for some people. And for others, that actually won't change their minds. And again, that's neither here nor there. But I think contextual, helpful, accurate information is a good start. I think a second thing, you know, in an ideal world would be to have, you know, no misinformation or disinformation out there, because there's a lot of unclear and unhelpful and untrue information out there about what it means, why you should vote yes, why you should vote no, and that can just confuse people and muddy the water. So, you know, ideally that would happen. I think ultimately those two things would go a long way. And again, understanding that there are people on the other end of the conversation, again, no matter where you sit. So just, again, try to keep that in mind.
One of the things that the Yes Vote camp has done is preference the emotional connection over a factual debate or factual conversation. Would you agree with that or disagree with that? From a psychologist's point of view, not a personal point of view, but from a psychologist's point of view?
I actually can't answer that. I think from what I've seen, there's been a bit of a balance of both, but I'm not sure what information you're seeing or whatever.
That was in a pamphlet released last week.
I think I think emotional information is helpful as well. Like, we know that the human brain responds to that, and it kind of helps some people to connect. So I think there are many reasons where people would use elements of that in communication.
And finally, Carly, and most importantly, do you have any key tips or any more tips that you can give in order for people to mindfully navigate a healthy debate with family or friends or online with people who may disagree with you in the lead up to yes or no voting day?
Absolutely. I think my first and probably my most important topic would be understand the audience and understand where your time could be spent. Because again, there are people who would just argue all day with you just for something to do. And there are people, you know, then there are people who would like actually want to talk to you about this and just get your point of view respectfully. And I think understanding, is this person actually open to a conversation, you know, a real true back and forth and exchange of ideas in a respectful way? Or are they just out to have a bit of, you know, a Barney online and they could go all day? And what will I actually get from this? So understand the intention of both yourself and the other person. Check your own emotional temperature. If you know that you're feeling a bit off, maybe you haven't slept, maybe you're already feeling really annoyed about this and maybe something might set you off, is it the best time for you to pick and have this conversation when it might not go the way you want?
I love it.
Because if Yeah, because if you're wanting that kind of respect and care shown back, also show that. And I think, honestly, you know, use mindfulness about this kind of stuff, because you can get a bit caught up. It is very divisive. So can you, you know, scroll mindfully, engage in regular mindfulness meditations, and just, you know, connect to the here and now when there's a lot of stuff happening all around us and a lot of conversations that are very emotionally charged all around us?
We're chatting with psychologist Carly Dover here on the Troy Murphy Show from the Headspace app that is available on your prescribed app store. Carly, my friend, you are amazing. I love having you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us. And from what I hear, you're off on a holiday, but when you're back, we will have to get you to chat with us more about the world of psychology, especially with some of the other contentious issues going on at the moment, such as the cost of living crisis and tips making it through the rest of dry July. We're halfway through, and I'm pretty sure people must be at that tipping point. So when you're back, we'll get you to chat all that and so much more. Carly, my friend, thank you again so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Troy. Can't wait to come back.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Have you ever thought about the life you want to lead in retirement? How much will you need to save to achieve it? And will your superannuation be enough? A little bit of planning now can help you reach your retirement goals. At GJ Private Wealth, we take a customised approach to your retirement planning. Our expert team of qualified advisors will work with you to understand your personal situation and retirement goals, to provide you with a personalised plan to help you get there. Speak to one of our advisors today by calling 02 8539 799, or visit www.gjprivatewealth.com.au. GJ Private Wealth are authorised representatives of AMP Financial Planning and are proud sponsors of 2SSR.
Would you like to be involved in your local not-for-profit radio station? Would you like to become a 2SSR volunteer with the opportunity to be a presenter, provide office support, or help with community events? If you would like to be part of the 2SSR family, call us on 9545 1800 or go to our website 2SSR.com.au and click on membership to download the application form.
Keeping it smooth in the Shire for over 20 years. Pauline Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Will Downey. Free thing I miss at home. Gerald Albright. Brand new heavies. You're such a freak. Pauline Routledge and Smooth Jazz, Sunday 6 p.m. for The Drive Home on FM 99.7.
Murphy Show, 7 p.m. Thursdays on the Sutherland Shire's 2SSR 99.7 FM.
Continuing with the serious stuff as we wear our serious hats here on the Troy Murphy Show, a bit of a topic that has become a pet project of mine, or a pet concern of mine, and not only of mine, but most people who work in the media and anyone who likes, well, what can sometimes be considered controversial opinion or thought or articles or news that is presented online. Well, if that's you, pay attention. If that's not you, also pay attention, because if the Labor Party, the Albanese Labor government, have their way, the world in which we consume information on the internet is about to change. Yes, the Labour Party has proposed legislation aimed at cracking down on misinformation and disinformation on the internet. We've spoken about it ad nauseam here on the show, and we've also compared it to other language that the Labour Party have also used when calling things misinformation and disinformation. Let's take a quick little listen here to Australia's Indigenous Australians Minister, Linda Burney, here talking about the voice to Parliament. Have a listen to some of the words she uses here.
Every bit of disinformation and misinformation and scare campaigns that exist in this debate. The No campaign are importing American-style Trump politics, and its weapon of choice is misinformation.
Remember that, because this is what the Labor government are on about at the moment: misinformation and disinformation, and banning it on the internet. And the move to do so has sparked concern among tech giants and social media companies, as well as legal experts, you know, the people who make the laws and run the country, the people who are smart enough in school to make proper effect and change in the world. Legal experts who argue that the legislation poses a threat to freedom of speech. Now, whilst we don't actually have freedom of speech in Australia like the Americans do in their constitution, we do have freedom of speech. We're not China. We do have freedom of speech here. The proposed laws have been described as, and I quote, dangerous and I quote, Orwellian by critics. Meta, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, has expressed concerns about the additional powers the legislation would grant to the Australian Media Watchdog, the Australian Communications and Media Authority, ACMA for short. Now, Josh Masson, Meta's Australian head of public policy, has warned that these powers could be abused and inadvertently restrict free and legitimate expression online. Twitter's head of global government affairs, Nick Pickles, also highlighted the global trend towards greater censorship and emphasized the importance of drafting laws with transparency and due process to protect free experiment. Remember, it is the Albanese Labor government who have continually used the words misinformation and disinformation across many aspects of their policy. They've got it with this proposed legislation where they want to stop misinformation and disinformation online, but they've also called anyone who disagrees with the Yes campaign for the Indigenous Voice to Parliament, well, spreading misinformation and disinformation. We'll go back to that clip we played earlier.
Every bit of disinformation and misinformation and scare campaigns that exist in this debate. And
so would anyone saying or supporting the no vote fall under this misinformation and disinformation proposed legislation for suppressing language that this government doesn't like on the internet? Who knows? Who knows? People far smarter than I are all over this, like prominent lawyers, including former New South Wales Supreme Court Judge Anthony Whealy. He has this week raised concerns about the subjective nature of defining truth and untruth, cautioning that the legislation could be easily politicised to undermine democracy. Coalition MPs, including James Patterson, David Littleproud, Dan Tehan and Barnaby Joyce and Bridget McKenzie, have joined the chorus of criticism, along with many of us here in the media, calling the legislation straight out of 1984 and asserting that censorship is not the solution to combating online misinformation. The proposed legislation also faced opposition from tech giants who are already signatories to a code of practice administrated by industry body, DIGI or Digi, to combat misinformation. Meta, Twitter and TikTok have all expressed support for the industry-led approach and have raised concerns about the broad scope and vague definitions in this current proposed legislation. To explain further, there are already a code of practice of which social media platforms have voluntarily signed up to abide by to combat misinformation. But the Anthony Albanese Labor government want to go further, which of course these tech giants and these lawyers fear that, well, the ACMA, which, great company, they look after what goes to air and what is published online and in the media. They do a great job. They're not elect though, and they are also, well, they answer to the government. Could the government influence the ACMA into stamping out anyone or information online, or forcing these social media companies to have them remove any information that is critical of how they run government? That's the question. And of course, the proposed legislation is so broad and vague at the moment with its definitions, no one knows. It's called being a devil's advocate. You look at these things and you go, well, how could this be manipulated by someone? That's what smart people do. That's what these lawyers, that's what these social media companies are doing. Now, critics also argue that the Australian Communications and Media Authority, well, that they cannot be trusted to police fake news. They point to instances such as the arrest of that pregnant woman in Melbourne for a Facebook post during lockdown as a small glimpse into the potential consequences of granting ACMA, ACMA, the power to enforce the code. That's an extreme. I'm not saying that is what will happen. And of course, we hope that doesn't happen should these laws go through. But critics are arguing, based on previous examples, this is what we've seen before in the past. Concerns have also been raised about the broad definition of harmful content and the potential for government censorship. Define harmful? Harmful how? Harmful to who? Is it someone's emotions being hurt? Is someone offended for the sake of being offended without actually knowing why they're offended? Is that harmful enough for government censorship to have these social media platforms remove content from them? Who knows? The proposed legislation seeks to strengthen the voluntary Australian Code of Practice on Disinformation and Misinformation, with the ACMA gaining the power to enforce the code if self-regulation proves inadequate. However, critics argue that this expansion of powers could lead to censorship and curtail freedom of speech. Lawyers have also criticised the vagueness of the legislation, pointing to the subjective nature of terms like harm and the potential for abuse to the system. Tech giants such as YouTube and TikTok have expressed support for the legislation for the time being. Others, including Meta and TikTok, have raised concerns about the potential unintended consequences and the need for a cautious approach. Now, as the debate continues, it remains to be seen whether the Albanese Labor government will push ahead with its proposed legislation and how it will address the mounting concerns from various stakeholders. And we will be keeping a close eye on it as it unfolds here on the Troy Murphy Show, because it affects what we do here on the radio. Not only what we do here on the radio, but what we share on our on-demand, which has a very high listenership, and what we share to our social medias, which again brings people to the show and our on-demand. If this goes through, I guarantee you half the stuff I say on this show, which at times is critical of the government, well, who knows where I'll end up? In jail? Maybe. Hopefully not. That's an extreme, but a possibility based on the vagueness of what this legislation details as it stands at the moment. keep an eye out this one. The world will change. Don't forget, and I have mentioned this on the show before. We're friends. I feel like we're chatting one-on-one here as in a phone conversation. This is what I'm like on phone conversations with friends indeed. Don't forget, the Gillard government tried this about a decade ago. They tried to restrict or put laws in place that meant they could enforce what news publications and the media could or could not report on. This has the same stench to it. It could restrict how media report news. We need our media to be free to investigate the way they choose to and to give an alternate, a different, a subjective point of view. That's what makes Australia a democratic country and a great country to live in. These laws, proposed legislation is everything but what is Australian. Hashtag that as a rant over. And to the Albanese Labor government, hashtag do better.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Whether you're growing older, rehabilitating, or living with a disability, help is always here at AdaCare. Our new showroom in Sylvania isn't the only reason people choose AdaCare. It's also the information you gain from a chat with our people. Stay informed about the latest equipment, streamlined procedures, and funding options available to you by calling 1300 133 120 or visiting adacare.com.au. AdaCare is a registered NDIS provider, home care supplier and DVA specialist, and is a proud sponsor of 2SSR.
If you're an adult who has difficulties with reading, writing or spelling, the Reading Writing Hotline has some very good news. It can actually be easier to take the plunge and improve your reading and writing skills than to keep putting it off. Phone the Reading Writing Hotline and find out how. Their number is 1300 655 06. That's the Reading Writing Hotline, and they're there to help. 1300 655 06. Go on, take the plunge.
Did you miss your favourite show? Did you want to listen back again? 2SSR is now on demand, so you can listen back whenever you want. Simply click on the show you want to listen back to on the live program guide by going to the 2SSR.com.au homepage. There you will find the show's on-demand player with the latest from your favourite show, music included. Take 2SSR wherever you go. It's as easy as click, play, enjoy.
They say that a change is as good as a holiday. So if you're looking for a new hobby or experience, then please join me, Anne Warren, for the Art and Soul program. We'll look at what's happening around the Shire with a focus on the arts. You'll hear about the latest exhibitions, events, festivals, or perhaps a fun and interesting workshop. It's live, it's local, it's 2SSR Art and Soul every Tuesday between 12 and 2 p.m. right here on 2SSR 99.7 FM and streaming live around the world on 2SSR.com.au.
Friday, Saturday, happy days. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, what a day. Tune your radio to the Troy Murphy Show. The Troy Murphy Show. Goodbye, Chris Cash. Hello, Lou. The Troy Murphy Show, it is for you. Thursday nights from 6 p.m. and then online all week long. Saturday, happy days. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, what a day. Tune your radio to the Troy Murphy Show. The Troy Murphy Show. The Troy Murphy Show. The Troy Murphy Show.
And it's all over, just like that.
And that's
that's it. The Troy Murphy Show done and dusted for another week. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back next week from 7 p.m. for another exciting edition of The Troy Murphy Show. If you missed any part of the show or want to listen back to any of the ranting or raving from tonight's extravaganza, you can listen back on demand by clicking The Troy Murphy Show on the program guide that you can find on the TRSR.com.au website, or if you podcast, we're available through iTunes and Spotify. Until next week, my friends, bye for now.